I've said this several times in the last few weeks. We are all broken. I have never met anybody except Jesus. And he was broken too. Not ungodly, but in his case, suffered in other ways. We are all broken. We all have hurts. Jesus didn't have hang-ups or bad habits, but the rest of us, yeah, we've got hang-ups and habits. For that last couple of weeks, we've been talking about recovery. We're in the process of launching the ministry, Celebrate Recovery. This is a ministry that we will be doing to help us find freedom and recovery and healing victory. The first week, we went with a word recovery, the letter R, and this material is inspired by the work of Rick Warren at Saddleback. Realize I'm not God. Yeah, that's a good start, right? I admit I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing. My life is unmanageable. That's the first step to recovery. The letter E, we talked about this last week. Earnestly believe that God exists and that I matter to him and that he has the power to help me recover. Today, we look at C. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. With me. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Everything. All of it. All of it. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our experiences, our attitudes, everything. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus gave this beautiful invitation. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Anybody ever feel like you could use some rest? "Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We do not have to face life, the challenges and the struggles of life alone. There's this invitation. Because verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God will bear this. He'll carry the majority of the load if we let him. I felt people's prayers this week. Really had my hands full. I was up day and night. You know, waking up a dozen times in the night, working all the time, but I felt buoyed up by prayer, and God was there, and God is always with us. It's God's invitation. Give me control and care of your life. Surrender yourself. Let God be God. Let God help. Let God lead. I'll lighten your load. You can relax. You can rest as God says, "I've got this. I got you. I got you." 1 Peter 5:7 says, I love this text. Cast some of your troubles on God. Hold on to the rest. No, oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says, is it? It's not what it says. Cast all your anxiety on him. All means? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. So our third step to recovery in life from life's hurts, life's hang-ups, life's habits is to use the little simple expression, let go, let go. Surrender. If it doesn't work your way, then there comes a time when you say, maybe I should try it his way. You know, we don't want to surrender control. Because there is a mass delusion. And we're deluded into thinking that we control our lives. This guy thinks he's got it, right? He's got it under control. He's got nothing under control. If he had something under control, his picture would be in color, not black and white. We wake up after we're born, and it takes us just a little while to form this habit even before we have the thoughts. Mom and Dad, I'm in control here. You will come when I cry. You will do what I want to do, and I will bully you day and night until I get my way, and that's how we do it. Want to call my own shots, especially once you're 3, when you know everything, and then when you're 15, when you know everything squared. Want to make my own decisions? Want to decide my own consequences? I am going to very well, thank you very much, play the role of God in my own life, and if I'm really good at it, I'll boss you too. It's a delusion. It's nuts. The reality is that we are being controlled all the time. Actions have consequences beyond our control. I can give you a couple of examples and we'll look at some other things, but if you murder someone, sooner or later you will get caught and you will go to jail. And you can protest all you want. Hey, I got this. They say, yeah, we got you. If you jump off a 10-story building, no matter how much you think you can fly, in a very short matter of moments, your body will go splat. Because we live under the rules, laws of nature and the government. My second cousin Stephen learned that if you have your 5th drug overdose, you will die. He's only 26 years old. That happened this week. He did not have control of his life. We don't control the weather. When I was in Michigan, we had 68, 70 mile an hour winds. 620,000 people out without power in Metro Detroit. It's a good thing I was staying in the hospital because you could not find a hotel room because people had to go to where there was power. Don't control the weather. Don't control where your food comes from. the sun or the rain doesn't come, no crop. Looks like right now, if it keeps like this, we may not have fruit in Adams County. We don't control our race or where we were born. We don't control who our parents were or our genetics. We don't control the government no matter how much we vote. We don't control our neighbors, our spouses, or our children. It's all a delusion. We do not control much of anything. We certainly do not control what others think of us or how others treat us. You may stop at a red light, but you can't control whether somebody else does. No one is free from control, okay? So let's just get it all out there. You may think you're calling your own shots. You may think that you've got it all, but the reality is there's all kinds of forces and circumstances around us that are part of our lives and within us that are part of our lives that are determining our destinies, and we make choices. We're going to talk about that next week or 2 weeks. But hear this. Real freedom is not self-determination. Freedom is choosing who controls you, because we are being controlled. When you give your life to the care and control of Christ, he sets you free. Jesus had this kind of paradoxical conversation with the Pharisees in John 8:34-36. He said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And sin says, you think you got me? I got you. Try to break any habit and see how powerful that is. You think you got me? I got you. Whoever is a sin is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Then Jesus says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are free when we come into the care and control of a loving God who calls us by name, who knows the number of hairs on our heads, who will always be there for us, who will hold us in his arms, who prepared a place for us in glory, and that is where we want to put our lives. You will either be controlled by your circumstances, your attitudes, your habits, your genetics, or whatever sins afflict your life, or you will be controlled by God, but the option to be in control yourself is simply not there. You will choose who your master will be. Freedom comes when we surrender to the love of Almighty God. And then we are free to fulfill our created purposes. We are free to love God and serve him forever, and it comes with us all the other blessings of knowing him and worshiping him and also having the horizontal aspects of our lives brought into reconciliation with other people. We are set free from the things that destroy so that we can live in spiritual abundance. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes in only to steal and kill. The thief, the enemy of our souls. And destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So if you go seeking the full life someplace else, ultimately you lose. You will surrender. The thief will kill and destroy. But if you find your peace, if you find your strength, if you find your marching orders, if you find your life in Christ, you will find abundance. You may not have a Mercedes, but you will have a God who loves you. Always. He adds in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But it's not an issue of being in charge. It's an issue of who are you going to serve? The circumstances, but I've always been this way. I was raised. This is what I like to do. Or the God who made you, who has plans for you. Who will you serve? Who will you surrender to? Because no one will be free until they find their freedom and the God says, who says, come to me. Come to me. These two persons, they're a married couple. I'm going to share a couple testimonies. These two persons currently attend Saddleback Church in California. The ministry Celebrate Recovery that we are beginning is rooted in, began in California. There's now 20,000 plus Celebrate Recovery ministries in the United States. And our hope is to be one that helps people to be set free. So Zane and Michelle are the couple. And here's what Zane had to say. He says, I'm a believer struggling with codependency. Now here's the thing that might, a lot of you might connect with. I was raised in a Christian home. So by the way, was Stephen, my cousin, who just lost his life to drug overdose. I was raised in a Christian home. Went to church on Sundays, Wednesdays. Learned all the rules of being a Christian, but never gave in to the idea of totally turning my life over to God. Okay, if you live the unsurrendered life, but you come to church, that at a buck will buy you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. It's fundamentally worthless. I wanted to have my cake and eat it too. Both my parents had to work to make ends meet. Me being the youngest, I was off to daycare. My mom was an authoritarian and very strict, and the only way I could get the attention I craved was to mess up some task or chore, somehow get in trouble. I still, to this day, struggle from time to time with acceptance and approval because those early scars create hurts that create hang-ups and habits that are hard to get beyond. Great recovery, we're trying to do that. Okay. As I grew older, I found I could make friends by making them laugh. And they think I was a funny man. So I was always trying to show people I was worth something through my accomplishments. I was a lot like this too, by the way. You know, very high achiever. You know, I am somebody in this job. But my efforts always came up the same. Short. In relationships, I would try to mold the person I was dating into the ideal person who'd meet all my needs and make my life perfect. And then we'd live happily ever after. Yeah, good luck with that, right? If he belches at the table now, he's going to do it after you marry him, okay? It's just, you know. This attempt at healing my pain always proved unproductive. As I grew older, I found out I could sing. And it was an intention getter, too, but it wasn't enough. So I got into rodeo, and of course, being who I was, I found the roughest event I could ride, and that would have been the bulls. For the better part of 2 years, I rode bulls, and this almost seemed to quench my hunger for attention, but I wanted the total package, because you know, no matter how much you go after the world, that always comes up short. So with my buddies, I hit the bars, nightclubs, and all the spots, cool people, went to. I thought for sure this would be the great fix. It wasn't until the spring 91 the tables turned in my life. Been attending Saddleback Church in California for a while, on and off, but my conscience was telling me to start back to church on a regular basis. He somehow knew there were some answers there. He says, and this was the year my life came crashing down. So he's thinking about it, but then everything really went bad. 3 year downward spiraling relationship. It's coming to end. Moved to another state to try to resurrect that relationship. It almost proved fatal for me. Came home broken, into my rope, Then, and not until then, the Lord had me right where he needed me for healing. Whatever it takes for you to realize you're not God, you can't handle this, you've got to turn it over to God. Whatever it takes, that's where you need to be. Unless you're willing to try it the easier way, which is just to surrender now. A good friend of mine who had compassion on me told me about Celebrate Recovery, and I came to see if this could help me out of the pit all of my best thinking had got me into. And through recovery, I've learned to view my past openly and for the first time honestly evaluate my part in the things that turned out the way they did. And Celebrate Recovery is a tool that God used for me to establish a relationship with him. And that's one of our primary goals in Celebrate Recovery. It's not just to get better, but it's to know God better. And in knowing God better, we get better. Right? For the first time in my life, I have a true working relationship with Jesus Christ. What I've learned about myself is that I was always trying to fill an emptiness deep in my heart. And I am aware of destructive patterns that could possibly sabotage things in my life. And I have my Lord Jesus to thank for this. Because no matter how many things you try to fill that God-shaped hole with, only God will fill it. Got it? Lord Jesus, I thank you for that. Without him, I had no idea how far I could have been lost. Every day, as the Lord grants him to me, I turn my life over to him spiritually. Mentally, physically, asking for his will to be done, not mine. It's not all roses. Don't let anybody tell you that being a Christian or following Christ is. That's a lie. But I can truly say my life is the fullest and richest it's ever been. That's Zane. Walking through this process of realizing that his life was out of control and that he needed help and that he had to surrender his life to God. Now we have Zane's wife, Michelle. I'm a believer struggling with codependency. Funny how somebody struggling with codependency would be attracted to somebody with codependency. Not. That's what happens, okay? Codependents attract one another. That's why they call it codependency. Okay? My life growing up was quite different from Zane's. I grew up in a broken home that became an alcoholic home. I was abandoned various times, either emotionally or physically, by one or both of my parents, you know, at a time. Lived with my mom and stepdad, who were impossible to please. Couldn't please them. Tried everything to gain their approval by good grades and being a good girl. But it's never enough to get their praises. Hey, by the way, I'm just going to stop right now. You don't have to do anything to get my praises. I just love you. Got it? Do you hear me? I said, I love you. Not because of who you are, but I just can't help myself. Since my parents were alcoholics, they weren't emotionally available for me. So I got turned to my friends and boyfriends to get approval that I deeply needed. I learned to become a people pleaser. Are you a people pleaser? It's a dead end, by the way. It leads to nowhere. But a lot of us are. Okay. I learned to become a people pleaser. I found myself being used and abused by most of my boyfriends. And I felt in some strange way I was comfortable with that. I deserve that kind of treatment. I've met many women like this, by the way. Used and abused, mistreated by men. And somehow, that's all they're good for. I don't really deserve anything better. I've met too many like that. Maybe you're like that. Eventually, I turned to drugs to numb my sadness. And the only thing I found there was emptiness. Still be there, trying to fill my emptiness with what God had a different plan for my life. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I asked Jesus into my heart in 1990, received a great deal of healing that first year, still operating under my old self-destructive patterns I was filled with guilt and shame. I'll give you an example. I'm stopping right there for a minute, but just say, share something with you. While I was in Michigan, the family of Junior Herman asked me to come and visit him because he was dying. And I said, I'll come. And when I can, I'm in Michigan with my father, who's in really, really bad shape. And so I was torn because I always try to be there. Dean also got some bad news that week. I always try to be there for the people I love, but I wasn't able to be in both places. And this morning at 4 o'clock, Junior died, and I didn't see him. I feel bad about that. That's that old guilt and shame thing. But really, I can't be two places at once. But that's how we get oppressed, you know? I'm going to have to process that today. And I say, Lord, help me, because I really feel bad that I wasn't there. But these are the things that drive us, right? I was filled with guilt and shame. I was still seeking out relationships with the same type of men. The more emotionally unavailable they were, the more attracted to them I was. Again, I've seen this pattern over and over again. They're attracted to men who cannot meet their needs, but they project that the man will meet their needs, and then they get one bad relationship after another because they're caught in hang-ups and hurts and habits that are destroying their lives. After another breakup, I began to think there might be something wrong with me that's causing this kind of treatment. And God used friends from the church to bring me to my first meeting of Celebrate Recovery. And I fought the idea for a long time. I thought, I'm in control of my life. I have a successful career. I don't need anyone. I related neediness to weakness. But it was the needs that hadn't been met in the past that initiated my self-destructive behavior. You don't deal with the problems in your life, they will bite you. Have you found it so? I realize now that needs are the fuel for growth. I actually really like that statement. Needs are the fuel for growth. The avenue to God. Conceptually, I accepted the idea that God needed to be in control of all aspects of my life, but I had to learn to become willing to let go of my will and humbly ask Him to take control. We all have to do that. And God has taken my hand and is walking with me through this program. I find myself tempted from time to time to take control back from God. You ever surrender yourself to God, put your all on the altar, and then crawl off? That's when I stop again. Remember, I turn it over to Him. I can honestly say that Zane and I wouldn't be married today if we hadn't put our past in perspective, learned to trust and turn our wills and lives over to God. Two testimonies, two people married, doing great. Their chances of succeeding were really low without a full surrender of their lives to Jesus Christ. I am convinced, always have been convinced in my ministry, now more than ever, you can't get halfway. It's like, I need you. I want to keep one hand on the throttle, one hand in control. I want to drive, but on the other hand, I want you to help me. Well, then all you're doing is fighting over the steering wheel. We've got to make a full surrender. Say, God, your way. I know you love me. I want to cast all my anxieties and cares upon you. I know you care for me. I know you say, come to me, all who are weary and burdened down, and I'll give you rest. I know you've made these promises. I know you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that you've said your Holy Spirit would give me power. I know you've prepared a place for me in glory. And Lord, I want to be yours now, tomorrow, and always. And then we're on the road. Because we're not really in control, like I said, but we're in control of the one who wants to give us that life that is abundant, not that life that is broken and empty and heading downward. So we move ahead and overcoming our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits. When we let go and let God, say it with me, let go, let God. We accept Jesus as our Savior, who loves, accepts, and forgives us. We accept God's Word as our standard for living. You may have another standard. You may be looking at what society says. Just go with the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God, it's true. Try it. You'll like it. We accept God's will as a strategy for our lives. It's not what we plan, but the will of God. And our task is to surrender ourselves to God that we might know the will of God and do it. And in doing the will of God, we become what God calls us to be. We accept God's power for strength because we are powerless against so many things. But with the power of God, we can be overcomers. We surrender ourselves completely to the loving care of God. So are you burdened? Hurts? Hang-ups? Habits? You can be free. You can be free. Let go. Let God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.